Welcome, everybody. This is Stephanie Gunning, and we have a wonderful treat tonight. David Nagel is with us to talk about how to make a quantum leap to a seven-figure income. And I will admit to everybody that this is the first time that I have ever spoken with David, and I'm going to ask him every little thing that comes into my head. And I'm so excited because my friend Sandy Grayson was telling me how fabulous you are, David.
Oh, good.
And so that's how I ended up connecting and planning to go to your June 7th workshop. So this is all just unfolding from there.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great. It's been beautiful weather here, and I got out. I live right next to Central Park in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
So
that's the time of year there.
Yes, it is, although it's a little bit allergic for some people.
Yeah.
So I am so intrigued about this whole concept that we could make a jump from, even if we're successful, from struggling, working hard, to use quantum reality to make this leap to another level. And I'm wondering, you know, how are we going to do that? Because I really would like to do that.
It is pretty amazing, actually. And in all fairness to everybody that's on the call, anything special that other people can't do. I had a mentor who put that idea in my head a number of years ago. At the time, I think I was making somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 a year. And he kept telling me it's easier to make $50,000 a month than it is to make $50,000 a year. And I kept saying, you know, I sure would like to believe that. You know, I would think, well, maybe for you, you know, it's easier to do that. But I can't seem to get there. And I think instinctually, when we think of really going beyond an income that we've ever attained before, automatically something in our mind says that we need to work harder, we need to have something special that not a lot of other people have, and we start to try to reason out the idea. And often that's one of the worst things that we can do, because most people have been taught that to earn a lot of money, or earn money at all, you've got to work hard, you have to work long. Schools do not teach you how to earn money. Most families don't teach you how to earn money. And we see someone who is earning a lot of money for it than we are. And what we don't really understand is that they're operating by the exact same principles that dwell within inside of us, that if we just understood them, then we could make the same kind of leap in our life virtually with anything that we're doing, because it really has very little to do with what you're doing or how you're doing it, and it has everything to do with how you perceive or believe about what it is that you're doing.
So that's really intriguing to me. You're not teaching a business system.
No. No. As a matter of fact, that's one of the worst traps that a person could fall into, because just from my own experience, that was the first path that I went down, was looking at different business systems. And I saw a lot of people making a lot of money using various different systems, all saying that their way was the way to do it. So I decided one year that I was going to interview as many of these people as I could just for my own personal knowledge. And what I found was that a lot of them did some things similar, but nothing similar that you could draw a correlation to say this was it, this was the key component of
right.
why they were doing it within their system, but it was what they did manifested the system to begin with, which allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. Now, The interesting thing.
So those systems work for each of those people because they created them for their own situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is a masterful idea that you can, as an individual, you have to find your own path.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing was that they would teach these systems to a lot of people that were very similar to them, but those people would not have near the results that the person that created the system did. And an example that most people would know that could identify with would be Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. Many people tried to duplicate what he did and could not. They could not, and they followed the system exactly, still couldn't duplicate it. And it's been written in many books because it was the intention that Sam had behind his work that made it work. It really had very little to do with what they actually did.
Right. So if we're kind of getting in our own way, how do we get out of our own way?
That's a good question. The first way to get out of your own way is to identify why it is that you want to make a significant income increase. I work with a lot of individuals, and I ask them, what do you want for a goal, money-wise? And a lot of the answers that I get are, I want to be financially independent. I want to be financially free. And I'll say, well, tell me about that. What is that? Almost instantly go to is, I don't want to have to worry about money. I don't want to have to worry about my bills. I want to be able to do what I want, when I want, whatever I want, whoever I want, and not have to even think about money. Now, that sounds really neat, and a lot of people would really like that, and they think that a lot of very wealthy people live that way. But in truth, that idea is coming from fear, not to have to worry about money. If you were not afraid of losing money, if money didn't, a lot of money or a lot of bills or managing it didn't intimidate you, you would never say that. You would never say, I don't want to have to worry about it. I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to have to manage it. Most of the wealthy people that I've come across in my lifetime have no problem with that whatsoever. And if they don't actually do it themselves, they hire very competent people that do it with them, but they're on top of it on a regular basis. So it's not, you can't come from a place where you're afraid of money or you're afraid of bills, because what you're really projecting out in front of you in your own universe is your fear. So what you get is exactly that. You will get nothing, or you will get the manifestation of that fear or of that worry or of that doubt in your life. And if we could put a, let's put a little twist on this, okay?
Okay.
I'll show you how easy this can really be. Okay? If we come from the premise that you create your entire life, okay? Whether you believe that or not, just stay with it. You create your entire life. Everything that's going on in your life, your circumstances, your results, your situations, your environment, you're creating it, okay? You really are that powerful. Now, you're creating out of a preset composition of beliefs that have been instilled with you from the moment of conception, then reconditioned and verified and evaluated and conditioned and verified and evaluated all through your entire life, right?
Yeah.
Where a person is currently, ask yourself this question. Don't like it, the great wins that you have or the problems that you have in your life, do you have to literally go out there every morning when you get up and drag them in the front door? Or do they just keep showing up?
Mm-hmm.
99% of your life keeps showing up every day. You move through it, you work with it, you do things in reaction to those things, but most of it just keeps coming in on a regular basis. And it appears like you're doing absolutely nothing to create it, but that's not the truth, because you're totally creating the entire thing.
You know, I relate to what you're saying so much, because I can see how I got where I am right now. And I can see how much further I want to go. And in fact, almost on a daily basis, I'm trying to stand outside myself so that I can see a different picture, which may be exactly why I'm attracted to your work.
Okay.
Because I want to see a bigger picture and create something new. And I was listening to your Art of Success, and you said something wonderful. You said you can tell what you value by where you've spent your time and your money in the last year. And I kind of cringed, you know, because if I really want to be having a different life, I need to be having a different life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it goes even deeper than that, where you spent your money and where you spent your time, because that is what I help people do. Is I help them get right to the real cause of why they're creating their life the way they're creating it. And what most people are doing is they're looking at effects that they believe are causes, and they're trying to change those. So they keep going around in a circle. In fact, it is not the actual effect. It appears to be a cause. It's not the actual cause. It's actually an effect.
Like, can you give an example of that?
Yeah, absolutely. If a person has a stack of bills on their desk, okay, and they're saying, I hate this. I mean, I was just talking to somebody today, and they were saying, I just absolutely can't stand these bills anymore. I need to get them paid off. And I said, you know, are the bills making you feel that way? And they're like, yeah, every time I look at these bills, I just cringe inside. It's not the bills that are making you feel that way. It's something that you're relating to the bills that are making you feel that way. That's why you've got the bills to begin with. So if you work backwards from that, you find out what caused the person to have more bills than they can actually pay for. And generally, it is a person gets in a situation where they want something, and they go out and they spend on credit, which is fine if you know how to manifest whatever it is that you need to pay for it. If you do the opposite, when the bill shows up, you cringe, you tighten up. Immediately you shut down the prosperity coming into your life, and it stops. The bills keep piling up, and the income goes down. We see this with businesses all the time. A person gets in what they would normally call over their head, and all of a sudden the sales start slowing down, the marketing starts slowing down, and they don't realize that they're causing that to happen by what it is that they're focusing on.
Mm.
So when I talk with a person about increasing their income, I'll say to them, what is the cause of your income increasing? Well, you've got to make more sales. And I'll say, no, those are all effects. Those are all effects. What is the cause of you actually doing that? Well, maybe it's getting on the phone or getting face-to-face in front of another person or hiring salespeople. No, those are all effects. Well, maybe it's having the right marketing system. No, it's an effect. What is the cause? So the cause stems from what the root of your business would be to begin with. Why did you get in business? If you just got in business to make money, that, again, is an effect. The real cause should be that you want to help people, that you want to express yourself, and that you want to help other people with whatever your product or your service is. That should be the true cause. Anything else outside of that is an effect. Okay? Now, when a person struggles, if they go back inside themselves and you say, what is the cause of this? You have to look really deep and peel the layers away to find out what the cause is. And I'll tell you, it's always related to one of three things. And that is either the need for love, security, or self-esteem. They will make decisions based out of that root need that will totally sabotage their entire life and their business.
Gosh, I think I probably rotate between all three at different times. That's very interesting. So what I'm hearing you say, just to see if I'm getting it correctly, is that the real reason I'm in business, and this is actually true for me, is to help people. And all business, in essence, is that. There's an exchange that occurs. The money is a result. Clients are a result. Activity, something. And so the flow then dries up if we get too concerned with these three attributes, love, security, self-esteem.
Yeah, well, if you ask yourself this question, so you're in business to help people and to express yourself. That is a desire. If it's coming from a pure desire within you, that is pure. Now, when you start moving through the business and you find yourself making decisions based on something else, like lack of money or fear of rejection or maybe being bold in some area that you need to be bold in and you're afraid that if you get rejected it's going to damage your self-esteem or that you'll lose the love of either your clients or your family or something like that, but the desire in your heart is actually telling you to go in a totally different direction. When you start making decisions based on those other three things, you're immediately headed in the wrong direction.
So those are sort of like signals that we could actually look for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it runs real deep. It runs really deep because most people think that they're making very logical decisions. They're saying, well, I can do this or I can't do this because of the money situation. And what they're doing is they're putting an effect before a cause. The cause to making more money is to make a decision that you're going to make more money. Period. You've got to make the decision first. Everything else that you need to do it will proceed from the decision. But the decision must come first. It's like people will say to me, I'd love to go buy this house or I'd love to go buy this car. And I'll say, well, go buy it. They say, you can't because I don't have the money. I'll say, you don't need the money. You haven't made a decision to do it. And if you think about anything that was a challenge in your life that you actually overcame, the reason that you overcame it was because at some point in time you literally made a decision where you cut off from any other possibility other than it was going to happen.
Right, and then my experience of that, and probably this is true of other people, is the decision being made. You try one tactic. If it doesn't work, you try another. If it doesn't work, you try another. But you get there. And usually you get there a lot faster than you thought you were going to get there.
Absolutely.
I used to raise money. That was what it would be. I would just call people, and that would be it.
Now, here's a way to get there even faster, okay? When a person usually makes a decision to do something, the logical course is one of the things that we teach them to do is to make a list of all the different things that come to mind and then start taking action on that list.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we tell them that is because basically it's better to get them in some kind of action to create some type of momentum than to just have them sit still. But if a person is really aware of their behavior and they're not making excuses and they're not falling into procrastination, one of the very best things that they could do is to make the decision and then do absolutely nothing. To just completely stop. And the reason for this is because for you to, when a person sits down and they begin to come up with ideas, like if they automatically say, I'm going to come up with an idea to do this, do this, do this, and it's something that they've never done before, the only path that their mind can go down is the one that their memory has. The only knowledge they have to pull from is from their memory. So what they're going to do is like a jigsaw puzzle. They're taking the puzzle and they're trying to move the pieces around to create a different picture, but it's only programmed to create one picture. So everything that they do is going to kind of bring them right back to where they are. It's only when they break free of that that they will actually get a different idea or attract a different idea or different people, or something like that, different opportunities, in order for them to make that breakthrough. I did this when I first started out to go from $50,000 a year to $50,000 a month. I made the decision and then I completely stopped working. I just stopped until I manifested something in my life that would allow me to do that, and then bang, that month I made $50,000 and never went backwards.
How long did you wait?
A few weeks.
A few weeks. So that's not so bad for $50,000.
No, for that one it wasn't that bad. I'll tell you, when I walked away from the corporate world, in order to do what I'm doing now, except I didn't know that I was going to do what I'm doing now, I had this intuitive thing that kept waking me up in the middle of the night for about a year that said that if you want to live your dream, you have to leave, and I really was not clear as to what my dream was. So finally it got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore, and I quit. And I quit and had a house, my wife, my kids, car payments, mortgage payments, you know, everything. And all the bills that go along with that. And I quit and did nothing for a month. And every day it was like the pressure was getting more and more and more and more that I had to do something. And I said, I'm not doing anything. Whatever it is going to come in. Mm. I just absolutely believe that that's what's going to happen. And about 30, 31 days into that process, I got a message from my mentor who did not know that I did any of this. And he said, I want you to come to work with me. And it just came right out of the clear blue, just like that. But if I had done, and during that time, I was getting offers from all different kinds of companies to go to work for them because they found out that I left the company that I was with. Phone was ringing off the hook, and I absolutely refused to give it any attention whatsoever. And what it was my subconscious was trying to create an escape for me, but I refused to let it win.
So how did you know that that was the right opportunity? You felt it?
Just felt it. Just knew intuitively that that's what it was. That's what it was. And that's what I ended up doing.
So I think that the approach you're describing for some people would be very frightening.
It is very frightening. And I don't prescribe that for every person. That's one of the things that I do in my upper-end coaching with individuals. And these people they've been to my seminars live. They've actually put in my four-day seminar that I have in July, we actually teach people how to do this, how to just manifest money from nothing. Okay? But it's very controlled the way that we do it. In other words, I'm in control, and they've got to do it the way that I set it up for them to do it. And it's real. I mean, it's all real-life situations. It's nothing that they cannot take from there and then apply it in their life. But I control it in such a way where everything that they're fighting against subconsciously comes to the surface so that they can see it. And most people just have no clue. I've had multimillionaires in there that had absolutely no clue what they were battling on the inside until they went through this process, and they saw it, they were able to release it, and once they release it, their incomes just skyrocket.
That sounds beautiful. So I'm just looking at some of the material that you have gifted me with, and I see that you say that you can teach people how to think beyond common sense. Is that what you're describing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because the world and what is logical will tell you that you're absolutely nuts, that you're nuts, you can't do this. And my response usually to those individuals that tell me that is that, yeah, it always seems that way when God or spirit or the universe, whatever you want to call it, is pointing you in the direction that you want to do because it's speaking to you, not everybody else. And that's where your power comes from. If you're not tapped into that power, when you do that, all the barriers, you know, can just dissolve right in front of you. There's a beautiful story about Richard Branson when Virgin was having just terrible times. And all of the CEOs, he went to the board, and he said they could not pay their bills. And he went out and bought a chain of nightclubs in order to generate revenue to pay the bills. And they thought he was nuts.
Oh, because he was spending money instead of stopping spending money. Yeah.
When most of the entrepreneurs that I know, myself included, if things start to get a little bit tough, we spend 10 times more than anybody else will. and we're not afraid to lose at all because we already know how to get what we've got. So we could duplicate that very easy. You know, I mean, look at Trump. You know, he almost went completely under in a time when a lot of people did, and he admits that it was his fault, that he lost his focus, that he was partying too much and, you know, not paying attention to what was going on. But, you know, everybody told him that, you know, he was going to have to claim bankruptcy and he wasn't going to be able to turn it around. And he did. He turned it around because he knew how. And he was not attached to the money. He was not attached to it. So he was able to turn that around. And if you study the biographies of a lot of successful people, you'll find that all of them have been in this situation at one time or another, including myself. And because we're not attached to the money, because there's a higher purpose involved, and we know where our weaknesses are and how to work with them, and where to go for information, you're able to turn it around in a very short period of time.
So, I've been studying the brain, and it seems like a very frontal lobe kind of approach to me, where you're really thinking using your higher mind, rather than you're getting stuck in your subconscious and your habits.
It is. It's like this. The idea, the thought, the opportunity, whatever it is already here in the universe. Okay? If you have the desire to do something, you already have one piece of it. And Raymond Hollywell pointed out in Working with the Law that you cannot feel a desire until it's ready to manifest in your life. Now, when I first read that, my chair, the truth with it resonated with me so strong, and I realized that what this literally means is that it's literally ready to manifest in your life. It is not something that's years away. It is not something where you've got to jump through a million hoops in order for it to happen. It's literally ready to manifest. And the reason is because you have the other side of it. You have the spiritual or the etheric side of it within you in the form of desire. The other side of the physical manifestation of what you want. What we normally do is we go down a completely different road, a logical road that has absolutely nothing to do with what it is that we're trying to create. And we don't get in harmony with the thing that we want, therefore it takes us forever, if ever, to actually create it. And that's where you'll see people say, I tried that, I read the book, I went to the seminar, I did this, I did that. They didn't do anything. They got an intellectual understanding that it was possible, but they never integrated it into their personality. It had something totally different.
So this is teachable.
Absolutely. 100% teachable.
Wow. You know, whenever people talk about quantum reality or they talk about the law of attraction or, you know, energy, subtle energy and how we create through our consciousness, it always seems very magical to me, in meaning unreal. And at the same time, there's another part of me that 100% knows it's true.
Yeah, you know, I think I was kind of in my studies, actually, and taught that because my mentor was Bob Proctor. I agree with it, you know, wholeheartedly. But I think that I've come to a place where teaching it a little bit different allows a person to make more rapid progress with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we remove the separation that takes place in their mind with the idea of attraction. And because what we're saying is when we have to attract something, we've got to bring something into our life that's not currently here. Well, in order to do that, the prescribed method is to say affirmations, to write down your goal, to visualize, to do all these things in order for it to come in. Well, if you follow Halliwell's premise and a lot of literature throughout the years, not only do they talk about attraction, but they also talk about it being here simultaneously, that you are one with it already, which means you don't have to attract it. You just have to reveal it, okay? It's already here, okay? And you put a quarter down on the table, heads up. The quarter in itself is whole, yet the quarter has two sides. And if it's facing heads up, intellectually you understand that the other side is tails, but you cannot see it with any of your physical senses. Your physical senses are telling you that the only thing on that quarter that you can see is heads, right? Now, if you take that and you turn that idea into creating a lot of money for yourself, what side of it are you experiencing? See, most people think that poverty and wealth are two separate things. They're not. It's one thing. And you're looking at the other side of it. You're focused on the other side of it. The other side is what's real to you, just like the heads up on a quarter. All you have to do is turn it over, and not only will you see the other side, but you will experience the other side. And it's literally that simple. But you have to know how to do it in order to make that happen.
Right.
Well, you listen to The Art of Success. You heard me talk about the first time that I became consciously aware of this was that for 2 years, when I struggled to take my income from $20,000 to $40,000, the opportunity for me to do that was in front of me for 2 years because my consciousness was focused on something else.
And that's what I think those are the kinds of goals that people set. And I've also seen, I have friends who are in sales, and they'll start making money, and then they start working on their problems again. And because they've been taught that they need to work on their problems.
Yeah.
And I love it because I can see in them a reflection of what I do. You know, it's like, because I know how to fight these problems, so... You know, when I do start getting in motion, which, you know, I actually feel like I'm in a period of time when I am in motion, fortunately, I can see that I start moving into unknown territory. And that's, for me, that's always been kind of the tricky part.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that we got some really good advice from a pretty great teacher, and it said, Christ said, resist not evil, meaning that anything that comes into your life that appears to be not good, don't push against it. And that's what we do when we've got problems. We feel we've got to deal with them, we've got to push against them, we've got to correct them, we've got to turn them around. And the more that you do that, the more that you magnify the problems. Most problems will literally take care of themselves if you just ignore them. And just focused on, get completely focused on solutions and completely changing things around.
So it's interesting. I realize I'm defining my financial status. And you're saying to me I can go to $1 million in 12 months.
You're doing which a lot is, less time than that.
Yeah. Great.
It takes no more, think about this. It takes no more energy, no more effort to create 1,000 than it does to create 1,000,000. It's just a number. It's just a number. Go ask somebody who's won a lottery. Right? They could just as easy go spend a buck on a candy bar as they can on a lottery ticket, and if they got the right lottery ticket, they're instant millionaires. Now, I don't recommend that people do that. Okay. I'm just pointing out that it's the same process in creating it in any other way in your life. It takes no more energy, no more effort to do that than it does to create $1,000.
Right, and millionaires still have 24 hours in a day, the same as a poor person.
That's right. Absolutely.
So,
Let me give you another example.
Okay. Okay.
I got somebody in my Dunn-Grams $100,000 for a person to be in that for a year, and I work with them on a weekly basis, and they're also part of my Platinum Mastermind group, right? They've got a gal in there who was making a few hundred thousand a year last year. That was where her total was. It was significantly under five. Let's just put it that way. And her goal was to go over a million per year. Well, so she started with me in January, okay? By March, she had already surpassed everything that she made last year and was well on her way to half a million. Talked to her today, over half a million, up to 600,000, and asked if she could extend the goal to 1.5 million or 1.7 million. Because she can't believe how easy it is.
Wow.
She'll probably hit the million by June at the latest. She'll be at 1 million.
So, is she working harder?
No, she's working less.
She's
literally working less than she did before. And the only reason that it's taken this long was that she had to wrap up some things that she had already had commitments on from last year.
And you see this kind of story a lot?
All the time. If you have the desire to do it, the way to do it is already in your life. You just can't see it.
You know, I'm listening to you and my mind is casting about looking for all the seeds and of the things that I've planted already, and then part of it goes to look for the obligations and the things that I have to do that would keep me from being free to do something new. And it's interesting how this idea works on the mind.
Absolutely. Well, see, what you're doing, without knowing the intimate details of all the things that you're suggesting, okay, you're making a lot of assumptions about the things that are in your life. One of the greatest things that I ever read, and I read it after I had done it, so it's the people that have read it, and doesn't mean anything to them, was this passage in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's, wrong one here, hang on. He's talking about the sly disguises of opportunity. He says, when an opportunity comes, it appeared in a different form and from a different direction than he had expected. That's one of the tricks of opportunity. It has a sly habit of slipping in the back door, and often it comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Then he says, perhaps this is why so many people fail to recognize opportunity. Now, the thing was that Kill just touched on that just a little bit and really did not mention much more about it in that context through the rest of the book. So if you don't understand that, I mean really understand it at a deep level, that is one of the biggest keys that can open a door for you, and you don't even know it. It just goes, you know, you read it, and you're like, yeah, that's cool, and you just move on. But here's some of the hidden gem that's in this, okay? He says that it often comes in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Well, so a person may say, well, I really don't have any misfortune, and I haven't been temporarily defeated, so it must not apply to me, okay? Misfortune could be exactly what you just said. It could be that you're looking at all these different things that you have to do, so how could you find time to do something else? That is a misfortunate thought.
Okay? Right.
Yeah. So if I promise you, and everybody that's listening, and anybody else that hears this, if you have the desire to do it, the way to do it is already there. You are literally what Napoleon Hill called 3 feet from gold.
So you're saying that if we have the desire, it's already here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some form. Disguised,
it's
perhaps.
Disguised, yeah. Definitely. Well, it's not that it's disguised. It's that your brain is disguising it. Well, literally, that's what it is. Because it's like you could take a person. Let's say that you take your average blue-collar worker, just one person, and you put him in a room with Trump, and they both walk around the block looking for opportunities. Well, Trump's going to see a lot more opportunities than that blue-collar worker's going to see, just because he's got the awareness of it.
Yeah, he's trained himself to perceive them, yeah.
Absolutely, right? So, like, Trump could take advantage of all different kinds of things. Now, here's the funny thing about this. You take the average person, like I was, and he's just an average blue-collar worker. I was driving a forklift. If I even did think of an opportunity, I would come up with all the reasons why it didn't apply to me, because I would think about all the things that I can't do. I can't do this. I don't have an education. I don't have any training. I never spoke in front of a group of people before. And it would just go on and on and on. So my brain is telling me, it is already programmed to follow a set pattern. Anytime I try to get off of that pattern, of the pattern that I'm supposed to be going down, because it's programmed to try to keep you on one straight course. That's the way our mind works. And it seems perfectly logical. It seems perfectly logical for the average individual. So they stay stuck.
Or they go into therapy for 10 years, talk about their programs. You know? I mean, the other thing that I was impressed about with your Art of Success was when you were talking about the keys of personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think you said it was thoughts, emotions, actions, and there was one more.
Results.
That everything, we created everything.
Yeah.
And yeah. I know that I create the action in my life. I know that there are emotions I don't always feel as in control of, to be perfectly honest, but I'm sure I can rhetorically figure out what thought I was thinking that created them.
Well, it could be something that's been programmed from the time you were a little kid. Something happens, your brain links up an emotion to an event, and then anything that is surrounding that event as you're an adult, it could be a smell, a sound, the way somebody touches you, the way the breeze hits your face, it just triggers the emotion. It's just an automatic triggering mechanism. It doesn't necessarily mean you had to think of anything. But all of a sudden, you experience the emotion again.
And if that's getting in my way, and you're telling me that I can, I mean, I'm really not trying to challenge you. I'm fascinated. You're saying that I can very quickly move through that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of perception.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, the first thing is you have to get to a place in your life where you say, regardless of being totally able to understand it all, you have to say, I am going to accept responsibility for every thought, feeling, action, and result that I get in my life. 100%.
Whether or not.
Right? The understanding will come later. Most people see what their life's like with going to therapy. Trying to understand it first, then they'll accept responsibility for it. That's why it takes 20 years. Okay? You have to say, I accept responsibility first. When you accept responsibility first, you will begin to understand it rapidly. Because when you see that you are causing something, when you say, I'm causing this, even when somebody else acts inappropriately in your life, you've got to say, I caused that. I brought the person in. I allowed the person to be in. I didn't set boundaries. I didn't do whatever. I'm the cause of this. Forget their action. I'm the cause of it. Okay? Period. Now, you've totally empowered yourself to change because there's no blame. There's no blame. Anytime we blame, we immediately give our power to someone else. I don't care if somebody comes up and whacks you with a hammer. Okay? You've got to accept all the responsibility for it. Because now you are 100% empowered to change it. Victims think they have to change everybody else. They don't have to change anything. See, that is a futile effort. That's what the direction that most of the world's going in. They're trying to change everybody else so that they feel better. And that alone will end you up on a psychiatrist's couch.
Right, or you're trying to change the past, which is gone.
Not real, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate use of your imagination.
This is, you know, this is very fascinating to me, and I'm going to love coming down to your June seminar to find out how much I can absorb from you in one day. I have a feeling that even if I get one tidbit that I really sink my teeth into, it's going to do wonders for me.
Yeah, it will. It will. It definitely will. Make all the difference in the world, because it's the one little piece that leads to the next little piece. And before you know it, if you keep embracing the little pieces that you get, it creates momentum within yourself, and the change becomes rapid. It's only when we reject it or we resist it that it takes forever. When I coach people, I'll tell them, well, how fast can you help me get there? And I'll say, well, that depends on you. If you reject and resist what it is that I'm going to show you how to do, it'll take forever. If you do exactly what it is that I'm going to show you how to do, you can get there as fast as you want. It's entirely up to you.
So what do you do during that one-day event?
Well, the is a preview of the four-day seminar that we do, we're doing at the end of July, okay? And it is all content-based, okay? Yes, anybody that was at the LA event, I'll tell you, it was 100% content. I don't even talk about the seminar until like the last 15 minutes that you're there. And we're there all day. What I do is take you through a greater explanation of what we've been talking about tonight. I give you examples, demonstrations of how this actually works, and really get your mind thinking along the right lines so that you can start embracing this. Whether you ever come to one of my seminars or not, you can start embracing these ideas and start using them to make significant changes in your life. And one of the things that we do is we really get people to see the difference between what they intellectually think they believe and what they really believe and what the truth is. Because there's one of the biggest traps that people fall into is they say, I know that. And if you don't have the result, you don't know it. You intellectually understand that it's possible, or you intellectually understand the concept, but you do not know it. If you can't create it, you don't know it. Knowing is cellular. It is awareness. It is something at a totally different level than most people are at. That's why when they watch the movie like The Secret, and they read a book, they're like, yeah, you know, I get that. I get the concept. I understand that. You know, bang, it's going to happen. And for most of them, it doesn't, because they don't ever put the principles into practice in their life. And many of them just don't know how.
Right. Well, I could get into a whole debate with you about how those books are written, but because I am a writer. But I think sometimes things are wrapped up in a neat little bow to make it marketable, and it leaves out a piece. Like, for me, The Secret took people from being victims to being not victims, and that, to me, is like the first little piece of the trip.
Let me point something out that you're saying. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
At the event in June, is that each person that's there, right, what they're going to hear is exactly what they need to hear at that moment in time.
Mm.
Exactly what they need to hear. So you can talk to two people who were there, and one person heard something entirely different. And the reason is because they got the piece that they needed to move them forward. One of the things that I talk about there is that there's two basic things that you need to know to succeed. One is where you are, and the other one is where you're going. Well, a lot of people think that they have a pretty good idea of where they're going, and they'll definitely tell you that they know where they are. That's the biggest problem. They have no clue as to where they are, yet they think they know exactly where they are. And once you show them that they're nowhere, anywhere near where they think that they are, they could be further ahead, they could be further behind, or anywhere around it, but they're not where they think they are. then they can start from the true place that they are and actually make real progress. Because if you drop somebody off in the middle of the country and they don't know where they are and you give them a map, the map's useless.
I like that idea. It's a new method of coaching.
Yeah, well, when you give somebody The Secret or when you give them a book or whatever, the one problem that they've got is, number one, they've got the map, but they don't know where they are. And what I mean by that is they don't know where they are within inside themselves. They don't know what is going on inside of themselves to even begin to know where to start from. So they start from a false premise to begin with. And they start to travel down this road and they hit obstacles that are so insurmountable to them. Or it doesn't happen the way it seems to be happening for everyone else and they think, oh, this is a bunch of garbage. And they stop.
Okay.
The problem was that they didn't start from the right place to begin with.
Do you hear a lot of people say, I don't know my life purpose, I don't know what I want?
Yes, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. And it is an accurate and an inaccurate statement. It is accurate in the fact that they may not be consciously aware of what their life purpose is. It's inaccurate in the fact that their life purpose is always with them. So when they know how to find it, then it's very apparent. It's boom, it's right there.
Hmm.
And that's another thing that we teach them how to do, is how to find that. I know it seems silly, and often it's the most educated person that has the biggest trouble with this because they think to themselves, you know, I've got degrees, I've, you know, all different kinds. I currently have three doctors that are in my coaching program, very high esteem doctors, and they'll tell you that I've taught them more about the mind and what it is that they're doing in the last few months than they learned in all the years that they went to school to become a doctor and their practice afterwards.
I can understand that. That makes sense to me. I always feel so grateful when I discover a blind spot, because until I know that I have a blind spot, I don't even know that I need to go and get some information. And what you're describing is almost like, it's sort of like the great blind spot, you know,
yeah.
Which is self-knowledge in a way, awareness and self-knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually give people physical examples of that blind spot. In June in Baltimore, we do a couple of things where they actually get to experience how their own physical senses are completely fooling them as to what they're experiencing. It's really pretty amazing. It really is, because when you start to think about, you know, your physical senses are basically, all they do is bring in information. The brain has to read that information and then determine what it is. If it's already programmed to say, this is this, then all you need is the hint of that information and your brain automatically completes the picture and it becomes your reality. That's why people don't see the opportunity. They're right in their presence.
So we're sort of making up a whole world around us based on tiny shreds of information.
It's entirely an illusion.
Yeah. So how many people are you expecting in Baltimore?
I don't know exactly how many they're going to be. I think it's probably a couple of hundred.
I'm definitely going to be there, and my cousin is going to be there. And I invite anybody who's on this call to come down, and this is a free event, by the way. Come down and hang out with us. I think it would be a blast to have a really big contingent, you know.
Yeah, it absolutely would be. And they can bring anybody that they want to bring. It is totally driven by my desire to truly help people get what they need to get. And we make it as content-rich as we possibly can. really give just a ton of value. They can, by the way, if they want to go to that, they can go to www.davidnagel.com/Stephanie. And that will let them register for the entire thing in Baltimore.
I'm going to pass. Yeah, so if you decide to go to the listeners, please send me an email and let me know so that I can look for you down there. I say down because I'm in New York City. It could be up or sideways for you. But I really would love to know if we get a group together, because I think it would be very supportive to have a community around this. And I'm excited, David, because everything that I've heard about you from my friend Sandy and from the few other people that I know who've done your work, who are stunningly successful people, I might add, or on their way, has just been such high praise. And I'm really grateful that you spent the time this evening with us. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I would say this. There's a reason, if you're listening to this call, there's a reason you're listening to it. It is a subtle nudge from the universe to point you in the right direction. The question is, will you make a decision to follow that? And that's all you have to do, is to make that decision. Of course, it's a series of decisions, because the universe keeps giving you these things that are trying to get you to where you really want to go, where you really want to manifest your heart's desire. And all you have to do, really and truly, all you have to do is just keep saying yes to those things and opening yourself up to them, and you'll see that it completely unfolds right before you.
Well, on that note, I think we're on the hour, actually, or just about to be. I'll just close the call with that. That's a great note. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Stephanie.